In order to operate in the life that God wants you to live.
And now we're getting ready
he gives
to
every believer
turn that over.
The responsibility
and
to renew
ready to
your mind.
Put someone in place.
He didn't say renew someone else's mind.
And we want Tony Orlando
right?
and Michelle to
you
come
could
up.
You can try, but you will fail.
Your family wants to join you.
You have to renew your mind. And in Romans chapter 12.
We didn't tell Michelle she'd have to come
one,
up too,
it
I
says,
think.
I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a
Tony
living sacrifice,
has, faithfully,
holy,
helped,
acceptable
past,
unto God, which is
years.
Your what?
And
reasonable.
God needed
so
to work something
out. So that tells me right
schedule.
There that God doesn't make
and
an
God did
unreasonable
that, so,
request.
We feel like this is the right time to do
when
this.
When He tells
so
you to renew your mind, it's not something you can't do.
Pastor here at VCF,
amen?
And we're very, very excited.
You understand
about
something?
That.
Yes.
Anything that God says to you, you can do. But we
and,
want to make up so many excuses.
As a pastor, it feels
to,
good to work myself out of a job.
Why we can't do what God tells us to
but
do.
But I want to give you some encouraging words.
And be not conformed
and then,
to this
I
world.
I want to invite the young people when we're ready
but
to pray.
But be transformed.
To come up and we're going to pray over you guys.
By the renewing of
so
your
that
mind.
God, can equip
that you might prove what is that good and acceptable.
And,
we're just
and perfect
we're putting Tony into this position.
Because we
so
feel like
in order to prove
it is God's will. And
God's word
it's a right
as
fit
perfect.
For our church.
And acceptable.
He has proved himself.
You have to renew your
faithful
mind.
Faithful and
amen.
And Michelle,
in order
has even
for
out
someone to
at our youth camps,
say that there's been a
so,
change in your life, a change
God
has
is going
to, occur.
To equip you,
I'm
so that you
a
can equip
of,
our young people. Feedback. There.
I'm just going to read you some scriptures. Ephesians 4:1-6 says,
"As a change
walk
occurs,
worthy
that will be proof
of the Lord.
Walk worthy of
that
your
God's
calling,
will
which
operating.
You were called."
With
in
all
life,
lowliness
no
and gentleness
occurs,
and long-suffering.
Bearing
then,
with one another
maybe a
in
change
love,
didn't take place.
Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit
so,
in the bond of peace.
Let's go to Romans chapter 8.
There is one body, one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, and Father of all, who is above all
and we're
going
to talk about how to develop a different
all.
Mindset today.
The gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable.
You know, in order for you to,
when God puts a
embrace what God
life,
wants you to embrace. It's going to require some diligence.
2 Thessalonians 1:11-12 says, therefore, we
that
also
just
pray
simply
always
means
for you
effort
that our God would now, count you worthy.
The
of
way
this
you get things from God is not
all
by
the good
your
pleasure
works,
of His goodness.
All right?
And the work of faith.
There's nothing
with power
you could earn that in the name
God
of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified.
If
in you
try to earn it,
and you in Him,
you will fall short
the grace of our Lord.
What God has done, He's
Jesus
freely given to us.
2 Peter 1:10
freely offered us
says,
a gift.
Be even more diligent to make right your call and election sure.
So in Romans
for if
chapter
you do these
8
things,
here,
you will never stumble. For
verse
so an
1,
entrance will be supplied to you.
Says there is now no condemnation to
Lord
them who are in
Christ
Savior,
Jesus.
Jesus Christ.
Isn't that good news?
And just as God
said, I don't have any condemnation.
Moses,
he said, take Joshua.
But make sure you do the
bring
second
him before
part
the priest. Lay your hands on him
who
and
walk
transfer some of your authority
after the
on
flesh,
him. And that's what we're going to do today.
But after
amen
the Spirit.
So I want to invite the
so you
the young
have a
people
choice.
When a person gets born
and,
again, you can choose to operate in the flesh.
And
or you can choose to operate
Michelle, we
in the
pray
Spirit
for them
or from the Spirit. Amen?
For them to be
you can react out of the flesh
equipped
or you can respond from the Spirit.
Thank you.
Amen?
So that they can minister
you
to
can
our
develop
young
fleshly qualities and characteristics or you can develop the fruit of the Spirit.
So Heavenly Father,
thank you.
We give you thanks and praise.
Yes.
If it wasn't possible
day, Father,
to choose
10,
how you're going to walk, then you wouldn't have said this.
We lay our hands
you,
on Tony and
for
Michelle.
The law
thank
of the
you,
Spirit
Father
of life in
for
Christ
the door
Jesus
of opportunity that you have given
yes has made
to serve
me free.
In this capacity,
notice
Father,
not going to make
you
your
free
pastor in the name of Jesus to minister
has
to young
has made
people
you free.
Lord, I pray that
when
you would
did you
fill
become
them
free?
And
when Jesus died on the cross
and, lead and,
and
guide
when he rose from the grave,
by
you became free.
Lord, may you
anoint them,
Father,
with strength
and a fresh anointing. But there's just a lot of people that don't know that they've been free, so that all they know is
that
they're bound, so that's their
Lord
mentality.
This group will grow.
But when you introduce
flourish
them to freedom, then they can embrace
and
the freedom.
And we give you thanks and praise, Father, for your goodness and your hand
for what
to
the law
upon
could not
right
do
now,
that it was weak
in Jesus'
flesh,
name.
God
amen
sending his own
amen
Son
amen
in the likeness of sinful
amen
flesh.
Amen.
Praise God.
Praise
and
God.
For
amen
sin,
condemn sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Notice, he says this again.
She's protesting the whole time.
You know, some people think
I told Michelle that,
that when you come to Christ,
she'll be standing up and saying something.
There's nothing more
I
to do.
I keep repeating it because she doesn't like to speak in public.
I can just set up my hammock on the beach.
Then
I
she'll teach the young people how to do that.
A colored drink with an umbrella in it, and I don't have to do anything else. Wrong. Now you're going to have to allow God's word to govern you versus what governed you before. Okay, we're going to get into this here in just a little bit. Look at verse 5. For they that are after the flesh do what? Mind. In other words, the way they think, their thought process, there's something in their mind which governs their behavior. Did you know that your mind will govern your behavior? How many has ever heard or said, my mind is made up about that? When your mind is made up about something, don't you start going in that direction? If your mind is made up to resist something, you're going to resist it tooth and nail, aren't you? Why? Because your mind is made up. Okay? So what is your mind set on? In this building, we have a thermostat, and I think it's set to maybe 72 or 73. I'm not sure what it's set at. But what's nice is I can set it. I can choose the day, I can choose the time, and I can choose the temperature, and then I don't have to set it again. Because at that time, it will come on automatically. Are you getting what I'm saying? When your mind is set on something, when your mind is set in a certain direction to take a certain course of action, it'll come on automatically. Amen? And so many people, after they get born again, their mind is still set on the flesh. How I can please the flesh. How I can gratify the flesh. How I can pamper the flesh. How I can keep my flesh from being hurting. Notice, they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. But they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. What kind of desires do you have? Are the desires you have godly or ungodly? What do you purpose in your heart? Are you living on purpose? Or have you not found your purpose? You're only going to find your purpose in God. What kind of thoughts, appetites, and impulses motivate you? What do you desire? What do you focus on? Who do you look to as your model and example? Do you look to your past? Say, well, when this happened to me in the past, I did this, so when this happens again, I'm going to do this because I'm looking to my past to lead and guide me. Your mind is set on the past, not the present. You can't do anything about the past. You can't, unless you have a time machine, you can't change what happened in the past, but you can change what happens today. You can think differently. You don't have to be bound by the past. You can choose the setting of your mind. You can choose to gratify the flesh or to gratify the Holy Spirit. Which one do you feed more? Now, if you had a stray cat that's kind of gnarly, missing some fur in spots, and it comes at your door, and it starts scratching at your door, and you feel sorry for that cat, and you start to put some food out for that cat, and you start to feed that cat, you start to treat that cat nice, I guarantee you that cat will keep showing up. So what you feed in your life will multiply. If you're feeding your life stale food, I call stale food living in the past. Do you realize that you're not in the past anymore? Do you realize that you're not there? You're in a different place? So why do you keep looking to the past to govern today? Did the past lead you to the truth, or did it lead you to pain? Well, if it led you to pain, guess what? Don't counsel with it. Some of you need to be delivered from your past today. But it hurts so bad. Yes, I know it hurts. But just like any cut that you have in your physical body, that cut will heal. Your heart will heal too if you want to. But I just love my pain. I love my hurt. Then your mind is set on the wrong thing. And you can change the setting of your mind. You can change what you focus on. You can change what you think about. You can get new information. You can learn how to operate in a different way. You can learn how to respond in a different way. That's the beauty of this. Did you know that what you set your mind on, your body will walk out? Let's read on. To be carnally minded is what? Carnally minded means you're focused on the flesh, the senses, the feelings, the emotions, this physical realm, circumstances. To be carnally minded, it means your mind is set on that area of life. And when your mind is set on the physical side of life, that's really low-level living. You know, something happened to me long time ago. Many. And what I didn't realize was I kept focusing on that thing. And even though I was in a different place, different location, doing different things, I kept focusing on that thing. And I didn't realize it. But it crept up in all of my conversations. And one time, someone looked at me and said, "You know, you keep talking about this. When did this happen?" I said, "Oh, a few years ago." They said, "Man, you talk about it a lot." I didn't realize I was doing that. But see, I was focused. I was carnally minded. I was, and guess what? It led to death. Who wants to keep digging up graves? There's nothing in the graves anyway, but maybe a bunch of bones. But people want to go and dig up their past all the time. They get out the shovel, the pitchfork, and they keep digging up their grave. They keep digging up their grave. It's time to change our mindset. Amen? Did you know when Jesus came out of the grave, his conversation wasn't about the grave at all. It was about pouring out his spirit, about doing his will, about setting things in place. He didn't talk about the grave one bit. Because he was in a resurrected body. When you put the grave against a resurrected body, I wouldn't want the grave either. Amen? But to be spiritually minded is what? Life and peace. See, what you set your mind on, you will pursue. If you keep thinking about the wrong that you could do, and you keep thinking about it and thinking about it and thinking about it, you will eventually do it. If you keep thinking about how so-and-so hurt you, so-and-so hurt you, when you see that person, you're going to react. Because you've been thinking about the wrong thing. Am I talking about mind renewal? Listen, if you want to develop a new mindset, you got to deal with the old mindset. How many of you, when your trash bag is full, you keep the trash in your house? Because I don't know if your trash is like our trash. After a while, our trash starts to stink. You know what we do with the trash that's full? We take it outside. So it's not in the house. So there's not even a scent or an aroma of it. Are you getting the picture? God has delivered you from the past. He's made you a new creature. Old things are passed away. Let them be in the past. Live in the present. See, the mind sets the body in motion. And the key to having death or peace in life in your life is what your mind is on. When something doesn't please God, there's no faith involved, because it takes faith to please God. Pleasing the flesh requires no faith. It will come natural. And your flesh, being like that cat that came scratching on your door, the more you feed it, the more it will hang around, the stronger it'll get. So it's good to starve your flesh sometimes. Go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Just think what would happen if we all agreed to focus our minds on prosperity. If we were all in agreement with what God says, do you think anything would change? Okay, I got one yes. Some of you aren't too sure. Second Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but what? Mighty through who? To what? To the pulling down of strongholds. You know what happens when you pull down a stronghold? You demolish it. Think of it like a deck of cards. How many has ever built houses out of cards? You got to be careful that not even the slightest breeze comes by. Why? Because your house of cards will fall. The pulling down of strongholds causes things to fall and demolish. Look at verse 5. Casting down imaginations. Can you cast down an imagination? That tells me that you can set your mind on what you want to set it on. You can set it on God. You can set it on yourself. You can set it on the opinions of others. You can set it on your hurts and your pains and your mistakes. You can set it on the negative words that people have spoken over you. But that's death. It will not produce anything but negative results. You can control your mind. You have the ability to cast down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. You can say no to thoughts. Thoughts are like birds in the sky. Yes, birds will fly over your head, but they should not be able to make a nest out of your hair. Just as easy as it is to prevent a bird from nesting in your hair, it's just as easy to deal with thoughts. To be able to choose godly thoughts over ungodly thoughts. You are not bound to do what's against God. You have a choice if you put your faith in Jesus Christ. The problem is we get lazy. Say, Pastor, I don't really know about what you're saying today, but I know I'm on the right track. Notice it goes on to say, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. When someone is arrested, their arms are locked up. Then they're told, you have a right to what? Remain silent. When thoughts come into your mind that don't agree with God's word, you could arrest that thought and you can tell it you have a right to remain silent. You don't have to give voice or action to that thought. You can bring it into captivity, every thought to the obedience of Christ. You can ask yourself, is this what Jesus would do? Is this what Jesus would say? Is this how Jesus would do this thing? Because he is the example. He's the role model. He's the, it doesn't get any better than Jesus. Did not Jesus walk on this earth? Did he commit sin? No, he didn't. But was he tempted to? Absolutely. Now, Jesus knew how to resist temptation. And guess what? He gives us that same ability once we come into him. Well, after hearing this, some of you are either going to grow or go. Amen? Verse 6, having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. How do you prevent disobedience? You fight it with obedience, right? When you're tempted to disobey God. See, now here's the thing. Sometimes what we're tempted to do is okay in society. People don't consider it wrong. So therefore, we're more likely to give in to that because for the most part, people think that that's okay. But what does God think about it? How many know the story of Joseph? In Genesis 39, Joseph was a man who was sold into slavery by his brothers. Anybody here have brothers sold you as a slave? But some of your family members have done some things to you that you still deal with today. Do we have any evidence that Joseph was upset with his brothers? Not from what the Bible says. Okay? But here's an example of someone who chooses to do the right thing in spite of what their circumstance is saying. Now, Joseph as a slave, he didn't work as a slave. He worked as a businessman. How do we know that? Because the Bible says he did his best and the Lord prospered him. Listen, the Lord is not going to prosper unrighteousness, okay? I don't know of any gangster saying, oh, I thank the Lord for my ability to be a gangster. The Lord is not involved in stuff like that, okay? So here Joseph was, he was a slave, but yet he did not think of himself as a slave. How can we tell? You look at the results that he produced. Someone who thought themselves as a slave wouldn't produce the results that Joseph produced. Joseph increased everything he got involved with because of how he thought. Okay? Now, Potiphar, he promoted Joseph. He saw that everything that Joseph did prospered. He made Potiphar more money in the fields. Potiphar had more money at the end of the month than what he had before when Joseph wasn't there. So Potiphar saw the results of Joseph's life. Now he said, I'm going to put you in charge of my house. I'm not going to be concerned about anything except the food that I eat. So not too bad to be a slave and have control of the house. Amen? Now, Joseph could come and go as he pleased. Because the Lord was with Joseph. Okay? And in Genesis 39, verse 5, it came to pass from that time that he had made him overseer in his house and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. God blessed the heathen because someone righteous was there. All right? Okay, verse 7. And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph, and she said, lie with me. She wanted to seduce him. Okay? Verse 8. But he what? He refused. Why did he refuse? Because his mindset wasn't geared towards that. He had a mindset to please God and do what God wanted, to honor God. We're going to find that out here in just a minute. Okay? He refused and said unto his master's wife, "Behold, my master wants not what is with me in the house, and he has committed all that he has to my hand. There is none greater in this house than I. Neither has he kept back anything from me but you, because you are his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against who?" He was more concerned about how his behavior would affect God than it would affect any other person. Now, Potiphar's wife was probably not ugly. Come on. It wouldn't be too hard of a temptation if she was ugly. She smelled nice. She looked nice. Not to mention, he had opportunity. He had control. No one would have questioned his going in or coming out. He had opportunity, but he didn't have a mindset to take opportunities and please the flesh. Amen. He was not concerned about gratifying his flesh. And the thing that was different was his mind. Because he was concerned about how God was going to be affected. Verse 10. And it came to pass as she spoke to Joseph day by day. This didn't occur once. Man, this was a live soap opera. As my stomach churns, no. Day after day. See, here's what Satan does. Day after day, he'll keep bringing this junk to you, bringing this junk to you. He'll keep trying to dump a dump load truck of junk in your backyard. But you do not have to accept his junk. Are you seeing it? Day by day, that he hearkened not unto her. He didn't listen to her. He kept resisting. Why? His mindset was, I'm going to resist with every, I've made up my mind. This is what Joseph said. I've made up my mind that I'm not going to sin against God. And yes, in the face of temptation and pressure, he hearkened unto her. He didn't listen to her, to lie with her, to be with her. Verse 11, and it came to pass about this time that Joseph went into the house to do his business, and there was none of the men of the house therein. Now Satan's made it really easy for him to sin. Satan worked hard to create this opportunity for Joseph to sin. But he didn't have the mindset. See, I want you to see that it was his mindset. It was what he thought on. He was concerned about pleasing spiritual things, not natural things. And guess what? Joseph made a lot of money. Joseph became chief financial officer of Egypt, of the entire Egyptian economy. He didn't do that by being unrighteous here. So Satan made it a lot easier. And he was caught in a trap. So he did the next best thing. He wasn't going to sin, so he ran. Amen? Sometimes you've got to run. You've got to flee. If the temptation is too intense, get out of there. You know what I wanted to say? Get the blank out of there. You know, when hell turns up the pressure, you don't have to stay and let it be turned up. You know, if you're in a sauna and the devil tries to lock you in the sauna, you can bust the door down. Amen? But what's your mindset? See, if you don't have a mind to go after God, you're going to fall prey to temptation easily. Because it's your mind. Your mind controls your body. All right? Let's look at another example. Go to Luke 19. Luke 19. This is another example in the positive sense. When you look at these people like Joseph, like Daniel, like who we're about to read here, you can do what they did. Luke 19. And let's look at verse 1. Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. He was the chief tax collector, the chief IRS agent. He was a manager in the IRS. Okay? He had a good position. He had a position of authority. Verse 3. He sought to see Jesus, who he was. That's important. He had an inclination. He didn't know who Jesus was, but he had a desire to know him. Come on. Because from what I've read about tax collectors, if your tax was $100, they'd charge you $110. They'd give $100 to the Roman government, they'd put $10 in their pocket. That's why people got so upset when Jesus ate with publicans. Because they were thieves. Not to be confused with today. Okay? Listen, pay your taxes. Don't have a mindset to say, how can I not pay my taxes? You're getting in agreement with the devil. He sought to see Jesus. He had a desire, an inclination. His desire was to see Jesus, who he was. And he could not for the press, for the people, because he was little. And he ran before and climbed up in the sycamore tree to see him. That's faith. Anybody that's going to climb a tree to see Jesus, that's faith. Like if you're going to take parts of the roof off to lower a lame man down, that's faith. If you're going to pick up your bed and walk after you've been lame for 30-some years, that's faith. Come on, faith demands action. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at your house. Jesus wanted to abide with him. He was entering into a relationship with Jesus. Notice, Zacchaeus expressed a desire to know God, and Jesus expressed a desire to abide with him. He's doing the same thing for you today. Some of you that haven't been too close to the Lord, today is your day to come close. Amen? Amen? Listen, God wants to abide with you. He wants to abide in you. He wants to help you. He wants to lead and guide you. He wants to bless you. Why? Because he loves you. He's all about relationship. Verse 6, and he made haste and came down, and what? Received him how? When someone gets saved, don't they receive it with joy? I don't know about you, but when I got saved, God knocked me on my back. And I came up crying and laughing at the same time. I felt good. It was wonderful. It was awesome. I can't even put it into words, but it happened 30 years ago, and I remember it like it was yesterday. That's how powerful it was. This is important. Zacchaeus received him joyfully. That was a mindset. In other words, Zacchaeus knew that what he was doing was wrong, but he didn't know how to change. But he knew Jesus could help him change. And he was willing to change. He just needed to connect with Jesus. You're here today because God's got a divine appointment for you today. He's got good things in store for you today. There are people with needs here today. God wants to meet those needs. He wants to fill those empty places of your heart. He wants to heal those wounds. Only He can heal those wounds. You've been stripped and beat up and left for naked by the devil, and God is a good Samaritan, and the good Samaritan is here today. He'll pick you up. He'll heal your wounds. He'll pour in the oil and the wine in your life, and He'll pay for your stay until you recover. And if there's any more charge, He'll take care of it. But Satan beat you up. He led you down a dead-end road. He left you for dead. But Jesus came to give you life. Verse 7. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be a guest with that man as a sinner. Hello? Who needs a Savior more than a sinner? Come on. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Zacchaeus made a resolution. Behold, Lord, the half of my goods, I what? All of a sudden, Zacchaeus' nature changed from taking to giving. He had a different mindset. And it was because he received Jesus joyfully, and therefore his nature changed. In other words, when your nature changes, you don't want to do the bad things you did before. Doesn't mean that you won't do any bad things. After you receive Christ, you will make mistakes. You will miss the mark. Because do you realize we can get in the flesh or in the spirit anytime that we want to? The body that you live in, we can overindulge our flesh anytime that we want to. I was so excited. I was feeling good. I lost 30 pounds. But then I let some things slide and I began to overindulge. And wouldn't you know it, those 30 pounds found their way home. But see, I hadn't made up my mind yet to work out. Because when I made up my mind out, how do you know when someone makes up their mind? When they start taking the right action. If you're not taking the right action yet, you haven't made up your mind. Your mind is still geared towards something else. And if I lost it before, I can lose it again. And I can keep it off, amen? So I'm preaching to myself today too. Talk is cheap. It's time to act. Amen? Amen? So Zacchaeus now. I'll give half. Half of my goods to the poor. Not, that's 50%. That's five tithes. Tithe is 10%. And what else? And if I've taken anything from any man by false accusation. You wouldn't say that unless it's true. I restore him how much? Fourfold or four times. I bet everybody that heard this man make this statement was shocked. Because I don't think they've ever encountered someone that agreed to do this. Verse 9. And Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is the son of Abraham. For the Son of Man does not come to seek and save that which was lost. For the Son of Man is come to seek and save that which was lost. When they had heard these things, he added and spoke a parable, because he was right to Jerusalem, and because they thought that the kingdom of God should immediately appear. But that day, Zacchaeus got saved. What changed first? His mind. Then his heart. He had an inclination to know the truth. And he wasn't going to let his size stop him from seeing the truth. Listen, sometimes you got to do what you got to do to get to Jesus. Don't let things stop you. Don't let guilt, fear, shame, condemnation, or accusation stop you from getting what God wants you to have. Make your mind up that you're not going to listen to those bullies anymore. And if that means you got to get up out of your seat and come forward and repent, so be it. Because the other alternative is death. To be carnally minded is death. To be spiritually minded is life and peace. Go with me to Isaiah 26, verse 3. Isaiah 26, verse 3. This is powerful. You will keep him in what kind of peace? Perfect peace, whose what? Is stayed on who? Because he trusts you. Now, if you're not experiencing perfect peace, who moved? Your mind wasn't stayed focused. Your mind got deterred. It got detoured. It got distracted. You know, it's kind of like when Peter, when he got out of the boat, he walked on water. He was walking on water as long as he was looking on Jesus. But when he got his eyes on the wind and the waves and the impossibility of it, he began to sink. When he looked to Jesus, he walked. When he looked to other things, he sank. So, how easily distracted are some people? The devil just comes along and just, it's like you're sitting on a one-legged stool. When you're sitting on a one-legged stool, a child could come up and just push that stool and you would fall. And too many times people are easily distracted because their mind isn't stayed on where it needs to be stayed. It's not focused on where. We need to look to Jesus, who's the author and the finisher of our faith. Go with me to Philippians chapter 4. I'm giving you some things that you can do. You can choose what you focus on. Can't you? Do you know choosing your thoughts is as easy as letting someone drive in your car with you? Would you just pick up anybody that you didn't know in your car? Why not? Because you have a choice. Who gets in your car and goes for a ride, don't you? The same thing is true with your mind. Just as easy as it is to choose who rides with you, it's just as easy to choose your thoughts. But we think it's so hard. Okay, I'm really going to resist this temptation now. You know, you're trying to do that in the flesh. You need to just put your trust in Jesus. When you're trusting in Jesus, it's like you got a force field to all ungodly thoughts. It's like when you're trusting in Jesus and the devil knocks on your door, you say, Jesus, go get the door. And Jesus gets the door and the devil says, sorry, wrong place, wrong house. Amen? Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Be careful for what? That word careful means anxious. Be anxious for what? Nothing. There's nothing that should cause anxiety, which leads to worry, which is fear-based. Be anxious for nothing. No thing. No thing should make you anxious. No thing should make you worried. No thing should make you fear. Why? You don't have a spirit of fear. Bible says you have a spirit of power, love, and what kind of a mind? Sound mind. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. When you're struggling with something, pray. And sometimes you need to pray through. You need to pray until you feel God's strength and power where you can be released from that prayer. I'm not talking about a drive-through prayer. It's not a Wendy's, McDonald's, or Burger King prayer. Uh-uh. You can't have it your way. Let your request be made known to God. What's going to happen then? The peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and your what? Minds. In who? Can you choose who to keep your mind to? Absolutely. I'm not talking about mind control. I'm talking about you making a decision to renew your mind, and you got to understand that Jesus is the source of all renewal. Today can be a renewal service. You know what it is to make something new? You bring it into the shop. Let's just say you want to make a table, you want to renew it. You bring it into the shop, and God takes his sandpaper, and he begins to take that sandpaper off the rough edges. Oh, that hurts, or that tickles. Yeah, you just let the sandpaper. Listen, if you don't get a smooth surface, the renewal won't take. Isn't that right? If your surface has got cracks in it, the sealer won't seal, right? Is that right? Help me out. Come on. He sands it, he smooths it, then he seals it with his Holy Spirit. Yeah, it might feel rough because the truth is a two-edged sword. And yes, the truth can hurt, but that hurt leads to healing. Amen? It hurts because it's dealing with the old stuff. I'm almost done. So, what do you need to do to keep the peace that God gives you, that passes understanding, for your heart and your mind to focus on Christ? What do you need to do? He tells us, verse 8, whatsoever things are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, what? Think on what? Too many times, we're not thinking on the truth. We're thinking of what could be or what. We're thinking about all the ifs. No. If you don't know what's true, ask God what's true. This is the truth, isn't it? Think on things whatsoever things are true. Whatsoever things are honest, don't think on hearsay. Listen, if someone comes to you and tells you something about so-and-so, unless they have proof, don't think on it. Because you may not know all the facts. Bible talks about if you make a decision with not knowing all the facts, that's a fool. You'd be a fool. Think on things that are just. Just as justified, just as if I've never sinned. You know, if the devil keeps bringing up your mistakes that you made, think about how God justified you. He's done. It's a done deal. You got to think about that. Your father is the judge. Jesus is your defense attorney, and he's never lost a case. Think on things that are pure. Too many times we get mixed things. We don't get pure things. Lovely. Oh, it's a lovely day. Think on things that are lovely. Jesus is, God is love. He's the most lovely person ever. Think on things of what kind of report? But how many times do we broadcast and advertise our bad reports? Every day. This just in, a week ago. This is my bad report. I'm going to read it to you. Well, you're thinking on the wrong thing. Okay, initially we might need to hear the bad report, but we don't need to hear it for 3 weeks straight. You're thinking on the wrong thing. Think on good report. What's a good report? What God says. So if there be any praise, think on these things. Isn't God cool? He tells us to think on these things. And one final scripture, Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. Verse 5. This is encouraging. Let this mind be in you, which was who? Where? In Christ Jesus. Did you know that you can have the mind of Christ? You can have his attitude, his desires. Let, when there's a sentence that starts with let, do you have a part to play in whether or not that occurs in your life? Let. That means God is knocking at the door. The mind of Christ is knocking at the door. That means you have a choice to let him in. Let him into your thoughts. Let him into your life. Let him into your heart. Or you could say, I don't want to answer the door. Tell him I'm not home. I remember one time we were witnessing in Gettysburg, and I'm knocking at the door, and they thought I was a Jehovah Witness. I heard him say, they're a Jehovah Witness. I yelled back, I'm not a Jehovah Witness. Then they opened the door, and I got to talk to them about Jesus. But see, you got to let this mind, and I don't have time to go into it now, but let me just tell you, the mind of Christ is the Holy Spirit. I can prove it to you, but not right now. Let this mind be in you. You can think. Yes, God's thoughts are higher than our thoughts, but we can think his thoughts. Through Jesus Christ, we can think his thoughts. We can let this mind be in us. Notice, it's not automatic. If you want this mind to be in you, first of all, you got to choose, like Zacchaeus did. He inquired. He desired. Secondly, he acted. He made his way publicly to see Jesus. Everybody knew that Jesus was going over his house. You shouldn't be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God. When we call people up front, it is not to shame you. It is to help you. It is to empower you. It is to fill you. It is so that God can touch you. I mean, wouldn't it be great if we had a gospel that didn't require any action from us? Okay, Lord. Here I am, just dump it on me. God says you're too far from the spout. You got to come closer. You know, you got to get under the spout where the glory comes out. So, with every message, there's always a call to action. With every service, there's always an opportunity to let this mind be in you. That's an incredible offer from God. He will share his mind. He will share his thoughts. He will share his life with you. But he only comes by invitation.